Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
May is the month for melanoma awareness and also general skin cancer awareness. And we're going to talk about that with Professor Katrina Ryan, who's consultant dermatologist at the Institute of Dermatologists. Katrina, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Now, melanomas, they're the serious ones. I mean, they're all serious, but they are the ones you really have to catch.
Absolutely. So there's two wide categories of skin cancer. Melanoma skin cancer and non-melanoma skin cancer. Now, the non-melanoma skin cancers are far more common. The most common cancer that we get in Ireland, and they're called BCCs and SCCs. And yes, they have to be treated, and we always want people to be looking out for them. But typically, they don't kill you.
Yeah.
A melanoma, and that typically looks like a brown mole, and we can go through what to look out for. There's about over 1,000 cases a year in Ireland, but if they're not caught in time, they can be fatal, and it's one of the most common causes of cancer death in younger people. Unfortunately, the frequency of all of these skin cancers is rising, and actually dramatically rising. The non-melanoma skin cancer type will have doubled in number by 2040.
Now, is that down to the fact that people can afford sun holidays now, or is it tanning beds or what?
A combination of lots of things. One of the biggest things for the non-melanoma skin cancers, though, actually, Pat, is that we're just living longer. So people get, with more cumulative skin damage, people get more and more of them for every year longer in the sun. So now people are living into their 90s, 100s, and we see lots more of them. But yes, absolutely. We used to be able to afford to go on sun holidays here in Ireland years ago. So now people are going on sun holidays. There's still a legacy of people who did a lot of sunbeds in their youth. So there's a lag period between the damage and when they happen. So that definitely accounts for it as well.
What should people look out for in terms of looking for a melanoma? Is it always a mole-like structure?
We talk about melanoma first because they're the really important ones to look out for. It is typically a changing mole. So a mole on your skin that changes in size, shape, or colour. And we usually talk about the A, B, C, D, E. So A is asymmetry. So when one side doesn't look like the other side, we split it in half. B is irregular borders. C is colour, so a change in colour. D is diameter. So if a mole is more than 6 millimetres, just pay more attention to it. You can still have melanomas that are smaller than that, though. And E is evolving. So if something is changing. Now, it doesn't have to be changes in a pre-existing mole, though. A new mole, especially in people who are in their 20s or older, it's normal to still get new moles when you're in your teenage years and your early 20s. But that should always alert somebody. And actually, my favourite thing to tell people to look for is an ugly duckling. Something that stands out is different from the rest of your moles. So it just jars on you. Then the non-melanoma skin cancer, which is much more common, they're almost harder to pick up because they're not typically brown. They're often skin coloured or pink. So a little warty growth, or sometimes it's a little indent into the skin. So someone thinks that they've nicked themselves or they've traumatised some part of their skin, but it's still there months later. Always get those checked because they can be overlooked for years.
The kind of thing that you expect to go away doesn't go away.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So any lump or bump that you can't account for, go to your GP. Our GPs are really, really good at dermatology and skin cancer, and they will refer you to a dermatologist if needs be.
Now, when you're getting these removed, I mean, if they're in a place that is not that important, now I would think. Years ago, I had a couple on my back, and liquid nitrogen was used, I think, to remove them. No one's looking at my back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wearing a low-cut, low-backed gown, for example, mm-hmm. people might be looking at your back. What sort of scars might remain? I've never looked at mine, by the way.
All right, okay.
I can't see my back.
I presume yours were non-melanomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have frozen them. And usually we don't just freeze them. We use chemotherapy cream as well. That you can only do that if it's a superficial one. Typically, skin cancers have to be cut out. And yes, they leave a scar. And the longer it's been there, you know, if it's a non-melanoma skin cancer, a bigger scar. And they can be lumpy scars or flat scars. But, you know, there's no getting away with no scar.
Okay, no getting away.
No.
And does some part of your epidermis scar differently to other parts?
Yes, that's a good point. So there's certain places that are more prone to keloid. They're lumpy scars, particularly over the chest bone, so the central chest, over your shoulder blades, and often the upper arms as well. You see sometimes people with their vaccination
sure.
marks are all lumpy, and that's another common place too.
Now, we've so many questions coming in for you. Is there a topical non-invasive treatment for syringomas around the eyes? What are they?
Oh, they're little tiny lumps around the eyes. They're completely benign, but they can be cosmetically displeasing to people. And the simple answer is no. There's nothing non-invasive. Typically, we hyphurcate them, so we burn them off to shrivel them up, or we use a CO2 laser to get rid of them. But you can't get rid of them with the cream.
Now, this one, I'm not sure whether it's your province. Katrina, thinning hair, healthy 80-year-old.
Oh, absolutely. It is our province. It's dermatologists that look after hair. And yes, you know, lots of people...
I presume this is a female because males' thinning hair is kind of normal, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually... women's thinning hair is kind of normal too. So 50% of women by the age of 70 will have thinning hair. It's just usually at a different rate for men. And we actually have plenty of treatments that can help this. This sounds like female pattern hair loss. And just because you're 80 doesn't mean that you don't, you know, that you can't look after things like that as well. So we do have lots of options.
I'm just wondering if your doctor could recommend a good moisturiser that includes factor 50 in it, so I don't need to apply both the moisturiser and a factor 50 separately.
And this is a great question, and it's something I would love if everyone could swap out their morning moisturiser for a moisturising sunblock. Now, obviously, in the sun, you're meant to put it on every two hours, but it makes such a difference, especially for men, because a lot of men say, oh, I hate putting on sunblock. You know, these are my skin cancer patients, my rosacea patients. And I ask them, well, do you put any moisturiser on after you shave? Oh, yeah. I'm like, well, why don't you put on a moisturising sunblock? So my favourite by far is one called Elta MD. We have it in our clinic. Always look for a zinc one if you can, because they're typically better, especially if you're prone to rosacea or breakouts. I think it's men more than women that hate putting it on. Women, I think women, it's a little bit of vanity on our parts to wear their sunblock because they don't want to age prematurely, as well as the skin cancer risk. If you can put that carrot in front of anyone, they'd be quicker to do it.
Can you ask Katrina about the use of LED masks, please? Do they really work?
So LED masks have a modest benefit to collagen production, but they do. Actually, and it's been shown in studies as well. There's a great Irish company called Skin Crush who do an LED mask, or Omnilux are good ones as well. You can use them for collagen production. And actually, there's another, so they're red light. There's other ones that have some blue light in them, and they can help in a very modest way as well to decrease inflammation in somebody who has something like rosacea or mild acne.
People will wonder, you put these light things on your face and yet you can't go out in the sun. Explain.
Because it's a different wavelength of light. So these are visible light. So the typical ones for collagen production are red light. What's interesting is blue light can increase pigmentation. That's a very good point, actually, Pat. Because we know that blue light, so high intensity visible light, can increase pigmentation and increase aging because of free radical production. And that's why I tell patients who are really going about the aging thing as well to try and do a tint in their sunblock. So the iron oxide in the tint blocks out the damage of high-intensity visible light.
Now, next one. My 10-year-old has large blackheads. Should they see a specialist for extraction? Are there any special products for this condition? And what about dietary changes to avoid recurrence?
Okay, I'm delighted that someone asked this question. Do not go for extractions. We see people with ice, and kids often, it's sometimes their mums that are doing it to them, that have ice pick scars because of the extractions of deep comedones. So please don't mechanically do it. Get a wash that has salicylic acid from your local pharmacy. CeraVe SA, Effaclar is another good one. Skin Ingredients do a Sally wash. Using that to help chemically exfoliate the debris, and absolutely go to your GP, because some retinoids then will help with that blackhead activity, because that's the cornerstone of an acne spot. It's not diet. There's some studies that show high glycemic load, so lots of sugar, can influence acne a little bit, and that's more the inflammatory side of acne. They don't cause the blackheads. And there was a whole load of controversy about dairy before. And there's limited evidence that high amounts of skim milk can increase the pimples, but not the blackheads.
Question now about 2 years of chronic lip and eyelid rashes. Finally, my GP diagnosed perioral dermatitis. Fusidin for 2 weeks, Rosex for a month, and a course of tetracycline for 3 months. She didn't say what the cause was and why it always recurred. Could Professor Ryan shed some light, please?
Okay, this is something we see a lot of, perioral dermatitis. And actually, it's taken TikTok by storm right recently as well, because lots of celebs going on about their perioral dermatitis. What it is scaling and tiny pimples. Typically starts around the mouth and then often happens around the eyes as well. If patients put steroid on, it feeds it. It seems like it's getting better, but every time they stop it, it gets worse. And typically it takes a course of antibiotics to get rid of it. Caused by steroid use sometimes, or people are using inhalers or the nasal sprays mm-hmm. that have steroids in it, that can make things worse. By skincare products, especially people are using 20 layers of all sorts of stuff. Often people cause their own skin, or I don't mean it's their fault, but they can aggravate things themselves. And I see a lot of this with stress, Pat. There's some patients I won't see them for 3 years. In they arrive again with their perioral dermatitis, and I ask them what's going on in their life. I've just moved house, or I'm going through a divorce. So, you know, our mental state can actually play havoc sometimes with their skin.
I have three dermoids on my face, one of which borders my lip. Can these be removed?
I think this is a dermoid cyst they're talking about, which is unusual around the. I wonder if this is the wrong term, but if it is a cyst, it can be removed. It will leave a scar, though.
Can you ask Katrina about lentigo maligna, please? Is it pre-melanoma? I had one excised from my face, concerned about a second occurrence.
Yes, it is a melanoma. So it's a melanoma in situ, and this is very apt for Melanoma Awareness Month. It is a melanoma in situ, typically caused by years and years of sun damage. And once it's treated, the nice thing about a melanoma in situ is you've got it before it has any invasive potential. So once it's fully excised, it should be fully cured. That's not to say that person, you know, it's not like the sun just fell on one part of their face. So they have to be on the lookout for a new one somewhere else.
As someone who's experienced ocular melanoma, please make your listeners aware of the risk. Protect your eyes with UV protective sunglasses and have regular eye checkups. That's a recommendation from Peter
great,
and Greystones.
Yeah.
If you have a mole about 8 millimetres, but it's fine, should you get it removed as a precaution?
No. If it's fine and a dermatologist has looked at it and confirmed that, the vast majority of melanomas, 70% of melanomas, arise in normal skin. Only 30%. So you could demole yourself, take them all off, and you could
and
still get a melanoma.
You still end up with one. Okay.
Yeah.
Some people do it for cosmetic reasons.
Yeah. But they're swapping a benign mole for a scar. You know, usually I think a mole looks better. But
I've a mole all my life. A couple of hairs have started to grow from it. Should I get it checked?
Actually, hairs growing out of it is a really good sign. So it's most likely benign. But we do have people who come to us who, you know, they say that people talk to their mole rather than them, you know, if there's lots of hairs coming out of it. So if it's cosmetically disfiguring, you know, that's a fair enough reason to get it off. Otherwise, from a malignancy standpoint, I wouldn't be concerned unless it changed in other ways.
Two questions from this listener. My 9-year-old has a small cut or nick on her face for the past number of months. Do I need to bring her to the GP? That's question one. And the second one, I have rosacea. Could you repeat the name of your sunblock, please?
So the first one, the nick that hasn't healed, I think anything that doesn't heal, go and get it checked. Most likely, though, what I would say in a 9-year-old, it's like so highly unlikely that this will be a skin cancer or anything like that. It's most likely that they're actually picking it themselves. And we see that in that age group, especially we see a lot of people who lick around their lips. They keep doing it as a habit, or if they have something on their face, they will pick and pick and pick. And that's most likely what it is. What I would say before going to the GP is get them to put Vaseline on it twice a day for a couple of weeks. And if it hasn't healed, go to the GP.
And they're less likely to pick it if it's sticky and greasy.
And if there's no crust, there's nothing to pick at. Yeah. Wounds heal better always with Vaseline on them.
Can you ask your guest about keratosis, please?
So that's probably keratosis pilaris. And that's the bumpy sort of chicken skin people get on their arms and their legs. It's genetic and it will be there forever. But there are certain things you can do to minimize the appearance of it. Salicylic acid can help. Try not to mechanically exfoliate it too much because it just makes it look redder. One of my favourite body lotions for that you can get online is called Ameliorate Transforming Body Lotion. And then if someone is having, you know, has an event, like say they're about to get married or they have a, you know, they have an important ball or something, they can use a chemical peel to get rid of that.
Okay. We said we'd give the name of that sunblock again.
That's Elta MD, the Elta MD Clear. It has niacinamide and hyaluronic acid in it to really help with rosacea.
Professor Katrina Ryan, a consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatologists, thank you very much for joining us. And any questions we didn't get to answer this time, we will return to the next time you're in.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.